Let's start this morning with our scripture. My name is Pastor Mike, and if you're a visitor here, let me encourage you. In front of the seat in front of you is a connection card. I would just ask that you would take time to fill that out. At the end of service, through the double doors and to the right at the Connection Center, we have a gift that we'd like to give you. And then tomorrow you will receive an email from me with a list of local nonprofits that we would like to make a gift in your family's name. This morning we're going to start with our scripture. So I hope you have your Bible with you. And if not, I hope somebody next to you has one that you can look on with. Let me invite you to open your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 5. Matthew 5, verse 5. We are in the third week of our series, Spiritual Blessings, Journey Through the Beatitudes. And today's sermon is titled, The Strength of Meekness. Doesn't that sound like an oxymoron title? Right? Because what do we associate meekness with? With weakness, with timidity. But instead, we need to understand there is indeed strength in meekness. And Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, it can be summarized into a simple three points. Repent, turn from sin, and the kingdom is at hand. The promise that we all have is the coming of God's kingdom. Excuse me. The coming of God's kingdom will make all things right for those who make themselves right for the kingdom. Let me repeat that. The coming of God's kingdom will make all things right for those who make themselves right for the kingdom. These kingdom blessings and the Beatitudes thus belong to the repentant, those who repent from sin, those who live in submission to the values of the kingdom in the present, and for those who are ready for the kingdom to come. Let's get to our next Beatitude this morning, Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Very simple. It says, blessed are the meek. You might see gentle, humble, but blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That was a very short scripture, as they have been. But there's much to be talked about here. So let's start by defining the word meek. What is meek? Meek is defined as being mild, gentle, quiet, humble. The meek that Jesus is referring to are those who depend on nothing but God for security in life and refuge from trouble. The meek here commit themselves and the directions of their lives entirely to Him. The meek here are more concerned about God's work and God's people than about what might happen to them personally. That to me sounds like a strong Christian. There is strength in meekness. In a world where many profess to be Christians, we live in a world today that everybody says, well, I'm a Christian, and it's only by word, or it's because, well, my mom was a Christian. You get down south, a lot of the belief down south is, well, my mom prayed for me, and I went to church with grandma, so I'm saved. She pleaded the blood of Jesus over me. Who knows that the blood of Jesus be over by you asking, you alone, not your mom, not your grandma, not your dad, not your grandpa. Action, rather, that validates the profession. So if we profess to be Christians, what should our actions tell others? See, meekness here is having a patient and humble outlook on life. As I smile at my wife, I'm not a patient person. I like things to be done right away. It's hard. Right? Having patience. But meekness is having patience and a humble outlook on life. Here is what else meekness is. Meekness is mild of temper, not easily provoked or irritated, patient under injuries, not vain, not haughty, not resentful, not forbearing, and submissive. This character trait might seem like a tall order, and it might seem impossible for us to fill. And it may be like, why do I want to be submissive? Right? Why mild of temper? What does that mean? Listen, it might sound like it's hardly applicable to daily life, but Jesus tells us that it is. See, it is possible because Jesus is telling us to be meek. And in an era when the Jews, so last week we talked about, you know, the conflict and all of that that's happening over East and whose land it is, and it all started back in Genesis 12. The Jews believed Jesus was here to reinstate the kingdom. They viewed him as the political leader. They thought he was going to bring back their nation as the leading nation in the world. And so they thought that he was going to bring the kingdom through human force. However, Jesus says, not the violent, but the gentle will inherit the earth. Jesus is quoting, and if you don't know this, Jesus is actually quoting this from Psalms chapter 37, verse 11. Psalms 37 is written by David. David wrote the Psalms, and he titled this. Anyways, it's in my. I don't know if he actually wrote titles, but it's a psalm. It's a song. I assume it's the right title. But it says, "He will not forsake his saints," is the header to that chapter. And it says this, Psalms 37:11. "But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace." Meekness is truly hard work. It's being strong enough to be gentle. It's being strong enough to be quiet. It's being strong enough to put your desires, your reactions, your whatever aside for the benefit of somebody else. In whatever situation you find yourself in, that is strength. Now, when you understand the importance and power of meekness, God can use you to glorify Him and be useful to others. So what do we mean by this? When we understand that we fully rely on God, His authority, His plan, not our own desires, not our own ways of carrying things out, because who knows, we are mistake-ridden. I am, I'll admit it, right? When we rely on Him, He can use me for the benefit of His kingdom better than I can use myself for the building of His kingdom. So there is strength in meekness. We have a perfect example of what being meek is. And I've been studying the book of Luke. So here's what's coming to a Sunday near you here at our church. In the month of December, we're going to start a series called Luke Christmas. And it's the Christmas story told through the book of Luke. And so we're going to spend 4 weeks in December going through that. And so this week, I've been studying through the book of Luke. And this week I was in Luke chapter 22. And this is the night that Jesus was betrayed. This is the night that he was in the garden praying. This is the night that we see him arrested. There's one sentence of his prayer that I think perfectly represents the meekness that we need to duplicate as Christians, as believers, as Jesus followers. And that comes from verse 42, Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Jesus is praying. He says, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me." This is the part that I'm keying on here. "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." There's a lot of debate whether Jesus was asking for his death to be avoided or he was just concerned about the agony of his separation from God, which he had to endure either way as he took the guilt and punishment of all of this sin upon us. Because what does sin do? It separates us from the presence of God. So if you have sin this morning, understand that you need to be right with God to close that gap to be able to be in his presence. Regardless of which one it was, frankly, I say it doesn't matter. Because neither one of them were desirable outcomes. Neither one of them looked like they were something fun to do. However, they were necessary for him to obtain and guarantee our spiritual salvation. And I want to focus on the fact here that what I'm talking about when it comes to this meekness, I am talking that Jesus was willing to submit everything to see God the Father's will carried out. Jesus was willing to face whatever was necessary, even when it meant his death, because he was wholly submitted to God the Father. So this morning, I've got to ask, can you, can we, can all of us collectively as a church, are we able to rely upon and trust the Lord with the same meekness and humble, lowly gentleness that we see from Jesus? We all have unique situations. Every one of us have a background and a situation and a story to tell that nobody else has, because my story is not your story. We all have unique positions. We have self-employed folks. We have administrators. We have nurses, and I don't know if we have doctors. Kelly, are you a doctor? Are you close? No? Okay. She was making all kinds of nurse jokes during bingo last night. A few of them went way over here until I caught on to what she was doing. It got pretty creative. But anyways, we all hold different positions throughout our lives even, right? So, Tim, you haven't always been a superintendent, have you? No. Dave, you haven't always been semi-retired, have you? That's a joke. I'm sorry. I'll shake your hand after service, Dave. Listen, the point is that we have different positions throughout our entire lives, right? We might at some point face marital issues, family issues, sickness, financial issues, disappointments, hurt, loss of loved ones. You could be a boss, you could be a manager, you could be a janitor, a para, a teacher, a doctor, a machine operator, a caretaker, a parent, a grandparent, a respected community member, a councilman, or even the president of the United States. There we go. It doesn't matter so much what your situation is. It doesn't matter so much what your position is in life. It matters on how you respond to it. And when you have the attitude of meekness, now keep in mind, what are we defining meekness as? We're talking about gentleness, mildness, quiet, humbleness. When we approach our situations and our positions with meekness, you will surely succeed in the eyes of the Lord. Meekness allows us to respond to challenging situations with grace and humility rather than anger and pride. It also enables us to show love and compassion to others even when they may not deserve it. Love and compassion to somebody who doesn't deserve it. Isn't that the hardest thing to do? Church, today, there is strength in weakness, in meekness. I keep saying weakness. There is strength in meekness. Now, if we point to a modern-day example of meekness, I would have to say that we look at Mother Teresa. Does anybody know who Mother Teresa is? Mother Teresa devoted her life to serving the poor and sick in India. She showed extraordinary compassion and humility, and she never sought personal recognition or honor for her work. And probably because of that very reason, she's probably one of the most well-known people in the world. In fact, she actively sought to avoid the spotlight and to remain anonymous. It's recorded that Mother Teresa once said, "I am a little pencil in the hand of a writing God who is sending a love letter to the world." Her meekness allowed her to be used by God in a powerful way, and her example serves for us today as an inspiration to pursue meekness. And I would bet that if we could talk to her today, she would say that she felt like she inherited the earth. What does it mean to inherit the earth? What are we talking? Because isn't that such an odd thing? What is Jesus describing here when he talks about inheriting the earth? What is David referring to when he's talking about inheriting the earth? For David, he's reminding of the promise that we had back in Genesis 12. Because what was the promised land described as? A land flowing with milk and honey. Very desirable conditions that made it sound lovely. It was everything they ever wanted. They had the presence of God with them. They were inheriting the earth. Here's what Matthew Henry says of inheriting the earth. Meekness, however ridiculed and run down, because a lot of people look at meekness as weakness, as timid, as not something we're supposed to be as Christians. However, ridiculed and run down has a real tendency, listen, let me take that out. Meekness has a real tendency to promote our health, our wealth, our comfort, and safety, even in this world. The meek and quiet are observed. This is still Matthew Henry. The meek and quiet are observed to live the most easy life compared with the froward, meaning the difficult to deal with and turbulent people. Does anybody know? Don't raise your hands. But if you know somebody who has chaos following them all the time, chaos is what their life is. Somebody who is meek and submits to the Lord, it generally looks like things are pretty easy. And I would just submit to you, if we pursue meekness, we might find a little bit of comfort. We might find a little bit of peace in our lives. So what do we do today if we want to inherit the earth? Well, if we go off of our scripture, we need to be meek. We need to be gentle. We need to be humble. And I realized I already gave you all the answers because I didn't have it set to click to show the answers. Meekness is a lifelong process. The only thing that is instantaneous in our life is when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we become a new creation. We are saved. We are blood-bought. We are forgiven of our sins. Meekness, though, is a lifelong process, and it requires discipline and being intentional. It's evidence is marked all over a spiritually mature believer. You can see when a spiritually mature believer has meekness, and it makes us more like Christ. So being meek makes us like Jesus. How do we develop meekness in our life today? First and foremost, it's by being in the Word of God. It's by opening up your Bible, consuming the words, hiding them in your heart, and letting the Word of God do what it does best, and that is to transform your life. And I hope this morning that you're opening up your Bible more than just Sunday mornings. I kind of wish we were still doing the five-day Bible reading plan so I could, that I always used to do. But listen, you don't need a Bible reading plan to open your Bible every day. There you go. We need to have, and we need to consume the Word of God on a daily basis. The second is spending time in prayer. It is praying. It is asking the Holy Spirit to work in your heart to be more like Christ. The third is practicing and extending forgiveness. It's to forgive and give grace the same way that Jesus did for each and every one of us. Be aware of and avoid prideful actions. Avoiding prideful attitudes, instead seeking to serve others. You see a little bit of pride coming up in your heart? Go do something you don't want to do for somebody. Serve somebody. It kind of goes, is that the same as eating crow? Or is eating crow admitting you're wrong? I don't remember how it works. But anyways, swallow your pride and go serve somebody. How's that? And then lastly, it's focusing on the needs of others rather than our desires and wants. If we want meekness, we're an outward-focused people, pointing them towards Jesus. Joel, if you want to come up. Guys, this is very short, brief, and to-the-point message today. I called a couple of my mentors this week, and I was like, listen, I can only come up with so much to preach about meekness, but there's evidence all through Scripture for it in our lives. And here's what I want to leave us with today. As we cultivate meekness in our lives, we experience peace, joy, and blessings that come from trusting in God's sovereignty. We have benefit when we become meek. Meekness enables us to have more meaningful relationships with others and to be used by God in powerful ways. Let us seek to develop this quality in our lives. Let us seek to go after meekness, to become and to look more like Jesus Christ, to be used by Him and to make a difference in the world around us. We must have meekness. We are to be a church that reflects Christ. We're not to be overpowering. We're not to be Bible-thumping people. We're not to beat people into submission. We're not arguing them to Jesus. Instead, we show them the love of Christ through His meekness. Engaging our community for Jesus with meekness will do more for building the kingdom of God than our best efforts or our best intentions on our own. There is strength in meekness, church. As we get ready to close this morning, I would just ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes, listen to my voice, don't look around at anybody, don't pay attention to anything that anyone's doing. This is a moment for us to take time and to reflect before the Lord and to hear what He has to say. And first and foremost, you can't rely on Jesus without first having a relationship with Him. There is no relationship. Without Him, there is no reliance on Him. A relationship starts through a simple confession of your mouth that He is Lord. We have to recognize Him as Lord in our life. But then it's also believing in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Romans 10:9. It's not about words said. It's about what's in your heart that matters. It's about what the position of your heart is before the Lord. And a genuine heart that says, God, I need your forgiveness. Please forgive me. And believes that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. That's what matters, not the words. So I'm not necessarily going to pray with you this morning, but I want to take just a few seconds of silence. And if that's you this morning, I encourage you to say this prayer amongst yourself. And it could be something simple like this. Lord, please forgive me of my sins. I believe you died and rose again. I welcome you into my life as Lord and Savior and make me a new creation. Something simple like that, but it's from your heart. It has nothing to do with the words coming out of your lips. So we're going to take just a few seconds to reflect before the Lord this morning, before we wrap up. If you said any kind of variation of that prayer this morning and you were looking for Jesus, you were saying, God, I need you. I can't do this anymore. Listen, you are now a blood-bought child of Jesus Christ. With that, we can start to seek and to be changed and to be more a reflection, to be more of that of Jesus. So as we close today, let me ask, are you meek? Are you meek? Do you depend on nothing else but God for security in life? Or are you looking for other things for security in life? Do you depend on nothing else but God for refuge from your trouble? Have you committed yourself and the direction of your life entirely to Him? Are you more concerned about God's work and God's people than what might happen to you personally? Jesus says we must be meek if we want to inherit the earth. We must be meek to be effective in our Christian life. So as we close with the song today, let me encourage you, search your heart. Search your heart, look at your attitude, and look at your answers to the questions that I just asked. Take time this morning to ask the Lord to help you become more like Jesus. Take time this morning to ask the Lord to clothe you with meekness and to help you trust on Him wholly for the outcome. Because church, there is strength in meekness.